In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is born. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in order to reveal himself to us as the truth, in order to set us free. He tells us, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He comes to make us free. He comes to make us children of God. So he comes to reveal himself to us as the truth, and to reveal God to us as love. Truth and love. You can't have one without the other. Truth without love is a lie. Love without truth is nothing. It simply doesn't exist. Christ comes to give us both. He shows us love that is true, love that is unto death, love that is no lie, because it's sacrificial. All true love is sacrificial. And if it's not sacrificial, it's not love and it's not true. He shows us perfect love even for our enemies. And this becomes a criterion for us as Christians. We might even say the criterion, according to Saint Siloan of Mount Athos. If you want to know if you have the Holy Spirit, then the question is this: do you have love for your enemies? It's something that's impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. Humanly speaking, left to our own devices, we can't love our enemies. You know, and when people of a worldly mindset hear us talking about loving our enemies, they think that's crazy. It makes no sense at all. If you have a worldly perspective, then you say, if you have an enemy, you should destroy them. Right? If someone has hurt you, you hurt them back, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And even the law in the Old Testament allowed for that kind of perspective, because God was very gradually bringing human beings closer to the gospel. So the Old Testament allowed for that perspective, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Justice, human justice, according to a fallen human perspective. But to be Christian means to be Christ-like. It means to walk in the truth, but also to have perfect love. It means to have love even for our enemies, which is a sign that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, because otherwise it's not possible to love our enemies. And what about having righteous indignation? Well, as I've said to a number of you before, Father Thomas Hopko of beloved memory once told somebody I know, "There's such a thing as righteous indignation, but you don't have it." It exists, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult. For the most part, we don't have righteous indignation. We have unrighteous indignation, because it's not accompanied by genuine sacrificial love. Willingness to die, even, for our enemies. For the one that we're indignant against. And today we celebrate four saints that show us that Christ-like love, that Christ-like combination of love and truth. Four saints that show us what it is to have righteous indignation, and what it is to have genuine sacrificial love even for enemies. Four saints. The first is Saint Stephen. Saint Stephen is commemorated on December 27th. And Saint Stephen is that archdeacon who was appointed in the book of Acts as the leader, the first of the deacons. And he becomes the first of the martyrs as well. So he has the title proto-martyr, first martyr, first Christian martyr. First to lay down his life for Christ. And we heard in the book of Acts today how he was speaking to the Israelites, to the Jewish people. And he was preaching. He was speaking about the history of the Israelites and how God had been with them, had been leading them, had been guiding them, everything that God had done for them and how he was preparing the way amongst his people for the coming of the Messiah. And then he speaks these fiery words of rebuke. You know, you stiff-necked people. He's rebuking them. He's really giving it to them. You know, so we might hear this and say, there it is. That's that righteous indignation. You know, there he's really letting them have it. It's fiery. Blasting them. And yet, what do we see at the end of that reading that we heard? Yes, he's rebuking them. Yes, he's correcting them. Yes, he's speaking the truth. But he's doing it with lots of love, desiring their salvation, not just writing them off, not resenting them, not hating them, not seeing it as us versus them, but they are my people. They're my brothers and sisters. They belong also in the church. This is what God created them for. And how do we know that that love was there for St. Stephen? How do we know? And that it was genuine love. Because finally, when they had enough and they stoned him, how did he respond? They were stoning him and he was dying and he commended his soul into God's hands. And then what were his very last words? Father, don't hold this against them. Don't hold this sin against them. And who does that remind us of? Our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so here's the thing. When you feel like you're justified in offering a rebuke, when you feel like it's your job to speak the truth, and undoubtedly we as Christians are called to speak the truth, yes, undoubtedly, but always with lots of love. So when you feel inspired and you think it's righteous indignation, ask yourself this: am I willing to die for this person? Am I willing to die for these people? And if we're just going on social media and, you know, blasting everybody, it's really hard to say we're willing to die for all of those anonymous people that we don't even know are hearing our words. It's hard to say that. And that's got to be the question for us as Christians. Are we willing to say, like St. Stephen, to have those people that we're correcting stone us to death, and as they're killing us, to say, God, don't hold this against them. Forgive them. Grant them the kingdom of heaven. Grant them forgiveness of their sins. You know, unite them to yourself. That's the question. So St. Stephen shows us what it is to speak the truth with love. Even to speak hard words of truth that might not be received well, but still to do it with love, which means to do it with willingness to die for the other. With willingness, even as the other is killing you, to forgive them. That's what it means to speak the truth in love. Now, the other three saints that we commemorate on this day, because it's the Sunday after Christmas, are the righteous king and prophet David, the psalmist David, Saint Joseph, the betrothed, and Saint James, the brother of God, the son of Joseph, who is the adopted brother of the Lord. And each of them also shows us what it is to be merciful. What it is to walk in truth, but also how to be merciful, how to walk holding love and truth together. Each of us in a different way shows us this. St. Stephen, we see, shows us what it is to be merciful to our enemies, even as our enemy is stoning us and we're forgiving them. What about St. David, the prophet and King David? How does he show us this combination of truth and love? First of all, Prophet David, when he was being pursued by King Saul. Saul was a horrible king. Saul was unfaithful to God. And he resented David. He was envious of David because he knew that David was God's beloved and David was very gifted. And so Saul was going in pursuit of him. He wanted to kill him. And twice Saul fell into David's hands. Twice David had the opportunity to kill Saul. And granted, you know, David recognized what a terrible king Saul was. But neither time when David had the opportunity to kill Saul did he go through with it. And his men didn't even understand that. Why would that be? You could have destroyed your enemy. He's trying to kill you. Why wouldn't you take his life? And you know what he said? He's the Lord's anointed. God put him in that position of authority. God forbid that I should lay my hands on the Lord's anointed. And so this is an incredible recognition of the truth that God puts particular people in authority over us. And even if they're dead wrong about something, we are not to lay our hands on God's anointed. That's for God to do, to remove that person and to put somebody else in their place. And of course, God rewarded David for this self-control and showing mercy even to his enemy, this king who wanted to destroy him. He showed mercy to him twice, and God rewarded him by granting him to be king in Saul's place. So this is one way in which David demonstrates mercy and love shown even to the enemy. Respect towards God, love towards God, because this is God's anointed. But he also shows it when he himself sins. And we know that King David sinned terribly. He sinned, you know, in a way that was particularly egregious, because not only did he commit adultery with Bathsheba, but then he had her husband murdered. It was a tragic situation. And when Nathan the prophet came to rebuke King David, at first, you know, Nathan told him a story about this, you know, there was a rich man who had all of these sheep and flocks and everything, and one poor man who had only one lamb that was his beloved lamb. He loved that lamb with all his heart, and the rich man came along and stole away the lamb from that poor man. And David was filled with righteous indignation. That's unjust. How could someone do such a thing? He wanted that person to be punished, that rich man who stole that lamb. And what did Nathan say? You're the man. You're the one who stole the lamb. And then immediately, David, even though he sinned so much, he still had a soft heart, and immediately he recognized how that parable applied to him, and he took the rebuke. He accepted the correction, and he repented deeply. He repented with all his heart. And so we have this beautiful, the most famous of all the Psalms, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy great mercy, and according to the multitude of thy compassions, blot out my transgression. This is David's heartfelt cry of repentance to God, begging him to forgive him for his sin. So he turns his righteous indignation against himself. You know, if we feel that we're justified in wanting to correct others, let's first make sure we've corrected ourselves. What does the Lord say? You know, if you see that your brother has a speck in his eye, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So this is that principle. And David shows us what it means to correct himself. And this is what we must also do. If we want to speak the truth, let's first speak it to ourselves and receive it ourselves and be changed by it and repent. Now, what about St. James? Actually, let's talk about St. Joseph first. St. Joseph. Each of these saints that we're talking about showed mercy to an enemy. An enemy. But we have to see in the case of Joseph and James what we mean by an enemy. In the case of Stephen, it was the Jews who were stoning him. In the case of David, it was Saul who wanted to kill him. What about Joseph? Joseph was betrothed to the Virgin Mary. But she was found with child. And according to the law, if a woman, if you're betrothed to a woman, and she's found with child, then because clearly she's been unfaithful, she is to be punished. So the betrothed husband, the groom, is to write a certificate of divorce and put her away. This is her punishment. So according to the law, that's what Joseph was supposed to do. And so the gospel says he was going to do that. He was beginning to do that. He was following the law, God's law. He was going to apply it legalistically, you know, to the situation until the truth was revealed to him. And we might say, yes, but, you know, an archangel came and told him, you know, this is something that doesn't usually happen for us, you know, when we're tempted maybe to apply things that we shouldn't. Yeah, but his heart had to be soft enough to receive the message. He had to be ready already to receive that message. And so, yes, God makes it clear to him that this isn't like any other situation, and that he must not legalistically apply the law to this situation, but he must open his heart up and recognize how God is at work here. So who could say, you know, Joseph would have been justified in writing the certificate of divorce and putting the Virgin Mary away. He would have been acting according to the truth of the law. And yet in this case, it would have been terribly wrong, because it wouldn't have been according to the grace of God. So Joseph, of course, he realizes, and he acts according to the will of God. And so the one who he was tempted to see as his enemy, the Virgin Mary, was no longer. He loved her. He loved God, first of all. And so he was led into all the truth in this situation. And what about St. James? Who was his potential enemy, let's say? James was one of four sons of Joseph. And these four sons of Joseph, when Joseph was betrothed to the Virgin Mary, and when she gave birth to her son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and Joseph took Christ as his adopted son, three of those four sons of Joseph saw Jesus as competition for affection, as competition for the inheritance. And those three, including Jude, who later became a disciple, didn't want to have to share their inheritance with Jesus. And they refused to. They said, well, he's not really our brother, and we're not going to share our inheritance with him. We want it for ourselves. They saw him as an enemy. James could have also seen the Lord as his enemy, but he didn't. According to the tradition, he was the only of the four brothers who never looked at Jesus in that way, but always looked at him as his dear little brother. And that's why he has the title Brother of God. Adelpho Theos, Brother of God. And so James could have seen the Lord as his enemy, but he didn't. He saw him as his beloved. And so here we see again an example of a merciful heart, an example of truth being held together with love. You could say that there was a certain kind of truth in what Jude and the other brothers wanted to do, which was to say, by all rights, they ought to receive the inheritance of their father, and they didn't understand the situation. Where did this child come from, you know? She had this child out of wedlock. It looked to them like something inappropriate. And again, in a legalistic way, they might have said, yeah, we're not sharing our inheritance. It's not right. But James had different eyes. He saw with eyes of love. He saw with eyes inspired by the Holy Spirit that this one was not only worthy of love, but was his Savior, was the God-man, was the one who would bring love and truth in its fullness into the world, and would justify and would redeem and would set everything straight and save the world. So here we have these wonderful examples, brothers and sisters, of how truth and love must be held together, and how truth without love is no longer truth. It becomes distorted. But how love, at the same time, if it is not according to the truth of God's word, if it is not in harmony with Christ, who is the truth, then it's not really love. Love that's not willing to die, love that's not willing to be sacrificial, is not really love. It's not true love. But may the Holy Spirit come and abide in our hearts and establish there a burning desire and love for the truth, and a burning love even for our enemies, for every human being, that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of God. May our God establish that burning grace of the Holy Spirit within us, that enables us even to love our enemies, that enables us to speak the truth boldly, courageously, and with lots of love for those to whom we speak it. That together with these glorious saints, St. Stephen, St. David, St. James, and St. Joseph, we might glorify our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages.